An innocent man is arrested. He is charged. He is beaten up. He is bruised. He is called names. He is spat upon. He is thirsty. He is hungry. He is in excruciating pain. He is charged of a crime which he never even thought of. And he is sentenced to death. He is hanging on the cross. The external world, which is looking on, this is a defeated man. This is a loser. What do you think will come out of the mouth of such a man? What would you say if you were in that situation? If I was in that situation, I would probably, most probably say, I am finished. Everything is over. But, thanks be to God, the man who was in that situation was no ordinary man. He was Jesus Christ. And he said, it is finished. And like Patrick mentioned, like Francis mentioned, it was not an utterance of defeat. It was one of the most triumphant utterings in the whole history of mankind. It is finished. So what did he mean when he said, what did he mean was finished? It could be many things. It is many things. And the Bible is full of what was finished. But let us just take a look at few of them as the word reveals to us. What was he signaling? He was signaling the end of many things. He was signaling many things which ended for mankind on that day, on that event. First, he was signaling that the curse which was on mankind because of the fall was finished. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 3:15. Where Genesis chapter 3 is where the fall is described. Then Genesis 3:15 is where God curses Satan. And the curse is that your head will be crushed by the offspring of a woman. And Jesus was fulfilling that very particular act here, finishing the curse that was on mankind by crushing the head of Satan by hanging on the cross. He was man, born of a woman, and being sentenced to it, something which he was not even part of, but he was a scapegoat for. And he finished the curse for mankind on that day. Second, he was declaring something. He was declaring that God has been demonstrating the love for mankind over and over again. The whole of Bible is that. God has been demonstrating his love. And Jesus was declaring that, look, this demonstration is over. For once and for all, this is the biggest. This is the most dramatic. This is the demonstration of God's love. Let's turn to Isaiah 43:1-4. And if you have the Message Bible, it's beautiful where it says, Isaiah 43:4 says, that is how much I paid a huge price for you. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That is how much I love you. I would sell off the whole world to get you back. I will trade the entire creation just for you. This is God telling mankind that this is to the limit that I will, there is no limit to which I will not go. I created the world and I will sell off the whole world just to get you back. He's saying, that is how much I love you. That is how much you mean to me, each of you. And Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, is saying, look, this, what you are noticing today, what you are seeing, what you are witnessing, is the most dramatic demonstration of that love. There is nothing more that my Father can do to demonstrate His love for you. This is it. World, watch it. Watch it. This is it. God's demonstration of love is the last demonstration of God's love to it. Thirdly, Jesus is declaring through this act that the separation between man and God that has been created because of the fall, because of the wickedness of man, is finished. That there is no separation between man and God anymore. That is what Jesus is declaring here. Let's turn to Exodus 40 and verse 33. Exodus 40, verse 33. Exodus chapter, the last few chapters of Exodus is all about the tabernacle. And God gives detailed instructions of what to make, what cloth to use, how to stitch, what wood to use, what metal to use, how much of it is to be used, and all that is what is there in the last few chapters of Exodus. And in chapter 40, at the end of it, Moses does something. He finishes the work. He finishes the ark. He finishes the tabernacle, and he finishes the courtyard. And then, in verse 33, Bible says, can somebody read it? It's good to read that. Moses finished the work of the tabernacle when he hung up the what? The curtain. When he hung up the curtain of the courtyard, Moses finished the work of the tabernacle. And in Luke, we read, just before Jesus says it is finished, we read in Luke 23:45, we read that the curtain that Moses finished, when Moses finished his work, the curtain was down. When Jesus says it is finished, the curtain is torn and it is open. Jesus is finishing the distance. And Moses had a reason for putting up the curtain, because he didn't want the sinful, the unholy, the unclean men to approach the Holy of Holies. It was not possible for them to reach the Holy of Holies without dying. And that was God's protection till that time, given to mankind, so that unclean man does not reach the Holy of Holies. But by dying on the cross, Jesus is saying that separation is finished. The curtain is torn. I have made you accessible. I have given you free access to God. There is no more separation between you and God anymore. People, listen, understand. I have finished the separation between man and God. We could go on and on. There are many, many other things that we could pick up. But obviously there's a time limit. So let us basically look at, in summary, basically what God is saying is that, about what Jesus is saying, that he has finished the business for which he has come to the earth. And he declared his business when he spoke for the very first time. The very, very first red letter words in the Bible, those of you who have the red letter Bibles would know this, is Luke 2:49, where he says, why did you look for me? Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business, or I had to be about in my Father's home? He knew that he was there to finish Father's business of salvation, and that is what he was saying ultimately with this word: it is finished. I have accomplished what I have come here for. That happened 2,000 years ago. But today, for you and me, there is still hope and promise in that word. Because he repeats it once more in the book of Revelation. He is in the making of New Jerusalem. He is preparing it for each one of us. All that we need to do is to believe and go. Let's turn to Revelation 21, 5 to 7. Revelation 21. And this is where the creation of the New Jerusalem is getting over, and the one on the throne is declaring once more the promise for each one of us. I would like us to read it together. Revelation 21, 5 to 7. This is our promise for this Good Friday. This is of God's promise to each one of us. So let's read it together. Revelation 21, 5 to 7. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I'll give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let the Lord and Father of Jesus Christ give us the strength to overcome. Thank you.